With Jamie Rivers, I'm Anthony Stalter. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Well, we got Texas and Oklahoma requesting out of the Big 12. We've been talking about throughout the course of the week. And we're pleased to be joined right now via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line by Adam Rittenberg, who's done a fantastic job for years covering college football for ESPN and ESPN.com. He's their senior writer for college football. Adam, first and foremost, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for having me on.
We are. We're doing great as well. I'm going to hit you with the obvious question first, but it's obvious for a reason. With Texas and Oklahoma doing what they did earlier this week, what does this say about the future of the Big 12 Conference?
Well, it certainly puts it in doubt, and I think the Big 12 is going to have to be really creative to salvage itself as a power conference or reshape itself as a different type of conference. I mean, the fact is, you know, the remaining eight teams, you know, don't move the needle anywhere close to as much as Texas and Oklahoma do. I remember being at Big 12 Media Days in 2019, and I covered a lot of the media days at other leagues over the years, and I'd never seen anything where you had so much focus on two teams. And that's sort of reflective of how those teams do in ratings, in terms of their brands, in terms of what they can bring in from a monetary standpoint, revenue standpoint. So that's the reality. So, you know, can the Big 12 reshape itself as a combination of the current group and maybe some teams from the AAC? You know, what else are you offering? Because, you know, clearly they have been the league that have been that's been most vulnerable over the years. You know, nearly fell apart back in, 2010. Had an opportunity to expand in 2016 and chose not to do so. Here we are in 2021, now having lost essentially their top two members, and then you're relying on the brands like Oklahoma State and TCU and Baylor. It's just a hard go of it if that's the best you can offer.
So then what happens to the other teams that are left in the Big 12? Do they just disband into some of the other conferences, or do they try to, like you said, reshape it and try to attract teams over to the Big 12 for maybe some other conferences?
Right. Well, you know, certainly the latter option sounds likelier, at least to attempt. Now, there could be some opportunities for leagues to those teams to go into the other conferences that are more stable. For example, you know, if you read the statement that Shane Lyons, the West Virginia athletic director, put out yesterday, he's all but selling West Virginia as an expansion candidate, most likely to the ACC. Whether that'll work or not remains to be seen. But if West Virginia can get to the ACC, it's doing it in a heartbeat. Goodbye, Big 12. I think there's a number of other Big 12 schools, say, you know, if Kansas or Iowa State, I believe this to be very unlikely, but if they end up getting some interest from the Big Ten, you know, they're gone in a heartbeat. You know, we'll see what the Pac-12 and their new commissioner, George Kliavkov, who addressed media today in Hollywood, what he does, looking at maybe adding to the central time zone, which could be advantageous for, you know, television programming and scheduling. And does he go after a program like Oklahoma State, which is almost a perennial top 25 program that's put money in and has tradition and has a strong fan base? So maybe that's the move for the Pac-12. But I think some of the Big 12 schools are likely to end up in essentially what's the Group of Five now. Now, the Group of Five could be a very different version in 3 or 4 years, based on what else happens with realignment. We could end up having, 30 or 35 or 40 teams that are just in a tier of their own. And then there's a Group of Five that's a lot larger. It could have not just teams like Iowa State and Kansas, but maybe teams like, even a Vanderbilt or Northwestern, Indiana. I mean, you never know who would kind of be in that second tier. So that's another part of this, is that this could be the first step towards just a complete reorganizing of the sport and where the teams fall.
Adam, when I look at the Longhorns in this one here, that's the one that I have the most question marks about. And there's no doubt that, look, there's money to be made by them going to the SEC, but I look at them also as they're their own entity. They got the Longhorn Network. They bring in a ton of revenue. I just wonder, why now for them?
Well, I think, again, they're looking towards the future. And the fact is that the SEC brings a lot of prestige. There's even more revenue that they can guarantee for themselves. The Longhorn Network, hopefully my bosses aren't listening too much, hasn't been an overwhelming success, to be honest. And rolling it into the SEC and the SEC network might be the best long-term play for Texas. And so, again, they've always had a wandering eye. I've always been curious to see what would happen if they truly went independent, and what they could just make solely off of their brand in football. But they've obviously chosen not to go that route. and they're ready to join the SEC as, you know, another major brand alongside the likes of, you know, Georgia and Florida and LSU and Alabama.
Adam Rittenberg writes for ESPN and ESPN.com, senior writer for them. You can follow him at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. Adam, I want to go back to something that you just made mention of. When you're looking at the college football landscape as a whole, what does this do to potentially, you know, force the commissioners of not only the Power Five schools, but the other ones as well, to say, we need a complete rebranding here? Do you think we'll get to the point where the SEC and the Pac-12 and the ACC will say, we've got to kind of restructure things, and that's going to be what's best for the sport?
Right. Well, I think that's in large part why the SEC did what it did. You know, if you listen to Greg Sankey, their commissioner, he's been highly critical of the NCAA, essentially saying that the NCAA is useless, and that we're going to essentially forge ahead with our own league and maybe our own rules. And that's just the way it is. And so I think a lot of the blame here, and again, I don't believe this is good for the sport, but it's also a reality. I think a lot of the blame here does lie in Indianapolis with some of the folks there and not being able to ever take control of this sport the way that, you know, people like Greg Sankey wanted them to. So that's absolutely a possibility, and why I think everybody has to sort of think about where they're going to fall. And also be realistic about who they are. And it's difficult. You know, this is a really unfortunate deal for, like, a fan base, you know, like potentially like Iowa State or Oklahoma State or Kansas State, some of these, you know, Texas Tech. You know, people there really care about college athletics. But the reality is they don't move the needle enough. And, you know, you just lost the two programs that did to the league that moves the needle the most in the SEC, which again is trying to get out ahead of maybe what they see is coming, like you mentioned, just where the sport is headed.
How could you see this impacting eventually, of course, the college football playoff landscape?
Well, that's what's really interesting here, because we have a proposal on the table that is going to potentially go to vote as soon as September, which is, you know, 2 months away from now. You know, my colleague Heather Dennett, she does a great job covering the playoffs. You know, sources telling her today that plan is still very much on track, which is interesting because, you know, that plan was made in a group of four commissioners, which included both Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, and Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner. So, you know, they were working together on a model that obviously was going to benefit Sankey's league without the others knowing that league was going to include Texas and Oklahoma possibly as early as 2022. And so I've been curious whether there would be any pushback on the 12-team model and essentially telling the SEC you can't have it all. But I do think there's too many benefits, especially the access points for, you know, Notre Dame, certainly, but also the group of five, which has no chance of getting in the playoff if it stays at four. So I don't know how much there's going to be true pushback. It'll just be interesting to see when that actually gets approved and certainly when the 12-team model actually goes into effect.
Adam, is it strictly coincidence or is there more to it that, you know, on the heels of the players being able to capitalize on their likeness or imaging, all that stuff, that something like this happens? Or do you think this is a strategic move in order to enhance the value of these teams and what they can make on their own, as well as the players that are doing all the imaging and licensing?
Sure. Well, it all goes together. I mean, you know, it's all part of recruiting, that name, image, and likeness and how attractive you can be in that realm. Also the league that you're in and the games that you're playing and the platforms that you're on from a television standpoint, it all helps you, you know, get the best players. Now, I just don't think it's going to change. I think the best teams with the best coaches are going to get the best players. So I don't know if Alabama having access to NLI will change. I mean, you can't go from one to higher than one in recruiting rankings. That's where they're going to stay most likely. Now, could Texas improve? Sure. But Texas still had a lot to offer, even if it stayed in the Big 12. You know, Oklahoma is already improving and might improve further. But, I mean, the reality is a lot of teams that have moved conferences go through some real struggles. So, you know, Texas has already been struggling. And you know, you can have NLI, you can have revenue, and you can have facilities, and you can pay your coaches as much money as you want. But if you're going 6-6, they ain't coming to your school. They're going to the school that's going to make the playoff every year. And Oklahoma is that right now. So let's not pretend that this doesn't have risk for a program like Oklahoma, which, yeah, sure, they need the money, clearly, from the SEC, but you're giving up an annual playoff spot in you know, for the most part, for the unknown. for maybe a bunch of 8-4s or 7-5s. Who knows what's going to go on? Maybe Lincoln Riley goes to the NFL and just wants to do that. And then where's Oklahoma? So, yeah, it's not a guarantee that just by making these moves that Texas and Oklahoma are all of a sudden going to be beating Ohio State and Oregon and Clemson and Alabama for every recruit in the country.
Adam, I got one more for you here. Last one for me is, if they, when these two teams get added to the SEC, are there any teams that could be shown the door from the SEC? Would they just add two teams, or would they at the same time kind of revamp it and maybe, ask a couple of schools to leave?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think if this is the first step to what many think will be, some type of conglomerate of the top 30 most invested football programs at the college level, or maybe it's 40, maybe it's 35. It's probably not 65. So if that's the group, then then does the SEC even exist, or is it just those whoever's left will kind of pool the money and the revenue, which will be incredible, and that's the NFL. That's college's version of the NFL. And if that's the case, I would certainly be stunned if Vanderbilt University makes it, or if South Carolina makes it, or unfortunately in your neck of the woods,
don't
if Missouri makes it.
Come on, Adam!
That'll be really interesting, right? Like, we talked about this for years in relegation. Like, where's the line? Maybe Missouri does make it and South Carolina does it, for example, like Tennessee, which hasn't been very good for a while, they have a pretty powerful brand with a strong following. I think they probably make it, even though they haven't done well on the field. And you can do that in every league, guys. I mean, does Utah make it? Utah's been a really good program, but do they move the needle enough to make that top 40? In the Big Ten, a little closer to where I am, you have Indiana that's on the rise, but historically they don't belong. You have Northwestern that's been really consistent, but they're a tiny private school. Do they get in that top 40? So that's going to be, if that's indeed the case, I think that's going to be fascinating. But I don't see the SEC or any of these established conferences kicking anybody out of the league immediately.
I'll tell you where the line is. You just crossed it, Adam.
Well, I'm hopefully kidding. You guys have me back.
But no,
I like to provide a little reality for folks that just have certain views of their programs. Nothing against Missouri. It's a great program.
No, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. And actually, before, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you. Jim Sterk, he steps down yesterday. I'm sure you're just starting to kind of maybe follow the story. But what's your initial thoughts on that? And who do you think Mizzou could go to?
Yeah, again, I don't know Jim very well. I obviously know of him and his career, and I always looked at Missouri as sort of the last stop. And with all these changes that we're talking about, not even NIL and the court cases and everything that's going on in the sport, it's not the worst time in the world if you're kind of an end of career person to step aside and maybe let somebody who's a little younger and maybe a little more excited about dealing with a lot of these headaches. Give them a chance. I think the Missouri job is very good. Being in the SEC, having a young, dynamic coach like Eli Drinkwitz in football. So I think it'll attract a really good candidate pool, certainly more so than it did maybe when Jim Sterk got the job and there are a lot more problems, specifically at the university. So I'm fascinated to see where they turn. But there's a number of people in the Group of Five. There are some established athletic directors, even at the Power Five level. A lot of people, I think, are going to be interested in this job, especially given the SEC only getting stronger.
Adam, great stuff. And if you want to follow Adam on Twitter, again, at ESPN Rittenberg, he covers college football for ESPN and ESPN.com, does a terrific job, and has done so for a very long time now. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks for having some fun with us, too.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Appreciate you.